Welcome to Stories of Stories. I'm your host, Mike Chin. In each edition of this podcast, I explore the stories behind a specific creative project, process, or experience. I'll be talking about projects on this show with the expectation that either you're already familiar with the project I'm talking about, so for example, if it's a story, you've already read it, or you don't plan to read it. Regardless, what I'm trying to get at is this podcast will include all kinds of spoilers, so please listen no further if you don't want anything spoiled. This episode, I'll be discussing Yelling. Yelling is a short story I published with the Blue River Review, a journal based out of Creighton University's MFA program. It's a story I first wrote during my MFA program at Oregon State, and it's based actually in a story that Heather, my wife, had told me about yelling on a long drive. So basically she shared it as kind of this informal, almost cathartic, therapeutic kind of technique of yelling at people who aren't there but who can imagine being there, who've, you know, done you wrong in the past or who've, you know, caused some sort of trauma, and that being kind of a release for someone. So I asked if I could borrow what she'd experienced there and what she was telling me about for a story, and she said yes. So in late 2014, I drafted this story. I think it was pretty shortly before the semester break, before the holidays. It ended up being the first story that I workshopped when I was back to school there. And it was a story about this woman, Janie, who was in an abusive relationship, who ended up leaving her husband to go stay with her mom after this traumatic incident. And mom introduces her to this idea of yelling, sort of similar to the way that I'd heard about it, as a way of coming to terms with all the outrages in her own life. And instances of the grandmother yelling kind of become sort of a framing device for the story, because kind of we start new scenes on different days, and each day she starts out by yelling at people who aren't there. And then later on in the story, it's revealed that, you know, the reason why Janie had this ultimate falling out with her husband was that he threatened their child with burning her with a cigarette, and that was sort of the inciting incident before the story really begins and revealed much later on, and it all culminates in her yelling at him at school during an open house. So I was really happy with this draft, but it's one of those stories that just goes to show how workshop and an effective mentor can really help kind of guide a story and kind of re-envision what it really is and what lies at the heart of the story. The husband-wife storyline here was pretty blunt, bordering on cliche, and one of the big issues was the husband was really kind of a monster, not a full, whole character in his own right, but just kind of this abusive jerk. And in withholding that inciting incident from the reader of what the husband had done, it sort of wasn't playing fair in the story, and it was holding from reader something that it was pretty fundamental to the story. And the whole story was told in a close third-person perspective, and so it really seemed like sort of a trick that Janie, that character, was withholding this information from the reader, and those sort of contrived to be that way. So in redrafting, you know, one of my main focuses there was to really make the husband less of a monster, you know, add some more nuance, and also add some more culpability to Janie, to suggest that while she was still, you know, the character who's more in the right in this situation, and the husband is still, you know, not someone who we necessarily want to empathize with or, you know, put on a pedestal by any stretch. Also to suggest, though, that Janie also had her part in some of their marital issues and, you know, wasn't just a victim in this story. And I capitalized on this one thread that was sort of a throwaway in the original story, but of the husband thinking their daughter was stupid, and to imply that in the newer drafts that she may actually have some sort of mental impairment. I kind of met in the middle on that, of the husband was much less overt about kind of that suspicion, whereas also there was more indication there actually was potentially something that the daughter was going through that Janie was in denial about, that she refused to kind of admit that her daughter had any issues. The other really big revision to be worked out was more structural in design, in that inciting incident of what had happened was, first of all, I had to kind of tamp that down and make that less of a sort of a blunt force trauma style kind of incident, and more of something kind of, more understandable, less, again, making Jamie kind of a victim in the purest sense, and more subtle in some ways. And perhaps even more important than what that incident was or how that works in the story was when the reader learns about it. So, you know, in the first big revision of this story, I took it basically from where it had been towards the end of the story and just basically deposited the whole thing in some extra exposition at a much earlier stage in the story. And that was the first step in that process of making that, background incident and, what it turned out to be occur in a way that the reader could follow along with it, understand that that was a motivating factor in this story. So after that first initial kind of dumping of it earlier on in the story, then it gradually became more a matter of massaging it into the DNA of the story. And some of that was getting some of the real essentials of the incident out much earlier in the story, but then kind of spreading it out and kind of diffusing that throughout the story, which I think ended up being, a lot more effective for it, in not just giving this one, big kind of flashback or big information dump, but rather having it spread out and be something we're learning about while action is still happening in the real time of the story. So this is, one of those stories that, I probably went through more rounds of revision of than there's very few stories that rival in terms of the amount of times I rewrote it. It was a part of my thesis project at Oregon State, and so, for that process alone, it probably went through at least, 7 or 8 pretty substantial rounds of revision. And then I kept tinkering with it afterwards, and, I sent out this story probably around 20 or so times, and got rejections back and, brought it back in and tinkered some more and was sort of gearing up for this other round of revisions. And, part of it was I was thinking largely about trimming it. I think the story, I'm very happy with the end result, but it is a long story. It clocks in at a little over 6,500 words, whereas 5,000 is usually more the size I'm trying to limit a short story to, at least a standalone story I'm trying to get published. And a lot of journals have, more explicit guidelines saying they should only be up to 5,000 words or something, 4,000 words. So, part of, I think, this story getting rejected was I could only send it to places that would accept longer stories, and then still a story has to be, that much stronger to justify getting placed at that kind of length. But ultimately, I was really happy to find a good home for it with the Blue River Review. So that's Yelling. And again, it's one of those stories that I think kind of reinforces the lesson of the importance of revision and of seeking out feedback. It's one of those things that I think, when, at least in my experience, when I was in an MFA program, that was a pretty easy and natural thing to access. I had to turn in something each quarter, twice each quarter. I had to turn in a story or, a set of flash fiction or, whatever it might be for workshop. It's harder to remember to ask for the extra set of eyes on things, when you're out in the wild and kind of on your own with writing. But, the idea that you're never really out on your, you're never really entirely out on your own. You're never kind of in that state where you can't ask for help. What one thing that I found, useful after I left my MFA program is the people from my cohort and I, we formed a small online workshop that we get together once a month and kind of on a rotating basis submit things. So it's obviously, a lot less regular feedback than you get while you're in an MFA program, but we also all have our own lives at this point. And, it's a little bit of a mixed bag, I think, on how much each of us is writing at a given time, but, to still have that time and that accountability to still be creating material and to still be able to get insightful feedback, not just from, other, good readers and good writers, but from people who also kind of have some familiarity with your work and what you're going for, I found to be invaluable. Okay, so that's a wrap on Yelling. So we're going to move along to Mike's monthly endorsement. So as an artist, I think it's important to be consuming other things to see what interests and inspires you and to see what's already out there and see what's come before you. So at the end of episodes, I'm recommending a book, a story, movie, TV show, a band, a wrestling match, etc., that may have escaped a huge mainstream audience, or that may be a little dated and now at the cusp of being forgotten, but that I recommend to you. So in this case, I'm recommending Justin Taylor's short story, Sun Gold. It's a story of a man stuck in sort of a dead-end situation, managing a pizza franchise that his well-off buddy owns in a college town, and things take a turn when he hires a new waitress. This is a story, it has a really contemporary feel, and there's a lot of obvious routes for this story to take, about sort of, you know, harsh consequences for actions, and about, there's a lot of you know, kind of overt romance angles that this could take. And part of what I really admire about this story is the way that it kind of sets up these expectations and then very carefully subverts them in what I feel are very realistic ways, where it doesn't really deny that these things could happen or that they might even be on, you know, the narrator's mind at certain points, but it still, you know, works around them in ways that are completely believable and goes in other believable directions that, you know, you don't necessarily see coming. So in any event, you know, while I give spoilers about my own work on this podcast, I do try to avoid giving too many spoilers about things that I recommend, with the expectation you probably haven't consumed this media yet, and I'm suggesting that you might want to give it a try. So I won't give away any more of that story, but again, it's called Sun Gold by the writer Justin Taylor, and it's available in his collection Flings. Okay, so as always, I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to thank, as usual, my friend Mike Peek for the theme music for this show. I'm wishing you all good health, happiness, and creativity, and I'll catch you next time.